It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money presented by DraftKings right here, VSiN, the sports betting network. We've got Wes Reynolds, Trevor Sikkema talking draft coming up in a bit, but right now it is a Wednesday. We missed him last week, but of course, Mike Palm, Circa, the D, Golden Gate Casino's VP of Ops, VSiN host as well, at Mike Palm Circa on Twitter, and he joins us on the program. Mike, how are you?
Hello, Patrick. Hello, Dustin. I was just rushing over from Andiamo, one of your favorite spots here in Las Vegas.
Yes, sir.
Patrick, we're having our proxies lunch that we do every year for all the proxies that help support our two football contests. We get their feedback, kind of give them a few cues ahead of what changes we might be making, and it's a nice appreciation luncheon.
That's tremendous, and Andiamo's is delicious. I honestly, that was... If my parents, we'd go to Olive Garden maybe once a year, but once every 5 years, we'd go to Andiamo's in Michigan because we couldn't afford anything else. It's a great picture as well there. That was last week. Where were you last week? Were you in Chicago?
No, I was in San Diego.
Oh, that's right, San
I'm
Diego.
There. I'm there on the left, I think, in that picture. Yeah, I was quick
there
in.
There he is. You're crouching down right there on the left.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Quick in, quick out. Beautiful San Diego, 72 degrees. We sat in the whatever they call that center field section with the big umbrellas there, the beaches or whatever they call it there in San Diego. I got to tell you, there's a party suite that's at the base of that Western Artillery building there down the left field line. I got told, Derek, we got to try to figure out how to get in there. It's an indoor-outdoor space, 12 seats right along the fence, starting with the left field foul line, right? You literally can put your hand on the left field. And then inside, they have like a theater where they have seats tiered up. They've got huge big screen TVs. You can watch any of the other action. You can even do PlayStation and all that kind of stuff. And then a big buffet in there as well. I mean, that's... It went unused, they said, 6 times last year out of the 81 home dates. But we got to try to target one where it wasn't sold this year and throw a party down there.
And, of course, Mike Palm and Circa, they're advertisers with the Padres. Now, maybe you can explain to Dustin. And San Diego, never going to be thought of as a sports town, a baseball town. But Petco, the park, is exquisite.
I love it. I mean, I think I came to Las Vegas in 05, and I think 07 is the first time I went there, and I haven't missed a year without making at least one trip to Petco. That whole district down there, that gas lamp district, it's tremendous.
Oh, it's the best.
The bar hopping before and after the games, great food there as well. The park is terrific. And, you know, this was a key opportunity for us because we sponsor both the Cubs and Padres now that we're in Illinois, and we did the deal with Marquee. So Tuesday night I was still here, but they actually threw – through a Cubs party, Cubs watch party at a bar there in San Diego. So, you know, the group that was with us was kind of split 50-50 between Padres and Cubs fans. But it was a great experience, and we'll be heading out to Wrigley soon as well.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You can't beat the weather there, too. By the way, when you're in that park, you know, if you go up behind home plate on the third level, you can see the ocean over there. And then if you're watching and you're looking past the outfield, you see the beautiful skyline, the buildings, as you were just discussing. It is tremendous. You want a craft beer, you want food, anything you want there, big guy. Now, before the program started, Derek Stevens stopped by and had a brief conversation with Dustin. Dustin, would you like to relay what he said about the NFL draft to Mike Palm?
Derek said booking the draft has ruined one of his favorite days of the year, which is the NFL draft, just having to think about all the stuff and the rumors and the hearsay and what you're battling up against, where he just wants to sit back, relax, and enjoy the draft.
He could be tend to be a bit hyperbolic. I mean, you lose, you know, 15,000 one year, and he's still crying about it. He has told the team to have five or fewer props to put up on the draft, and then the Jeff Benson tweet from early last week where it said we will have 40 plus props, and then we had a meeting where Derek said, did I miss a meeting, Jeff, and what's going on? And, I love it, though. I think we have a great menu this year. $500 limits. I think we have 64 bets you can bet yes, no on. There are two-way markets, either over, under, or yes, no. If we lose, we lose a little bit. But I tell you, it's almost a little bit of a return, you know, service return to the bettors. And I think it's a very interesting draft. So there's a lot of creative things you can do, not only just with the quarterback position, but who's going to trade down, you know, in that top five. Is anybody going to trade down? And where are certain quarterbacks? 4.5 now is the over-under first round. I think the wide receiver market's interesting. I'm not convinced Harrison's the first to go. I think he's way too heavy a favorite. I think Malik Nabers is worth a look at north of 3-1. So, yeah, we're gonna book the draft, and we'll have to live with it. But Chris Bennett has told Derek he doesn't expect anything more than a small loser out of it. So hopefully it turns out well, and Derek's mind will open up. He said today in a staff meeting that he feels the hot dog eating contest are a much more legitimate thing that could be bet on than the NFL draft.
Well, I mean, think about this. How many actual, when it comes to sports betting, right?
Yeah.
How many other opportunities are there to bet on an event that actually involves zero sport being played like this? It's just not normal.
These guys are all still pissed because a couple years ago when we had the draft here and Kayvon Thibodeau had all his parties here and all that, there's certain information was given out that did not happen to be true. And these guys went all over town betting them to a certain team, and it didn't happen.
Oh, so they're bitter.
Very bitter. Still very bitter. It's not so much what Circa lost, it's what they lost.
Well, but I think the big takeaway is even somebody like Derek Stevens needs a right-hand man like Mike Circa, like Mike Palm, because you need that yin to yang. You need the voice of reason. So when he's crying, you need to bring him back down to, you know, earth and say, hey, this is good for the customer. It's good for us. Like, he needs that right-hand man. This is good.
Well, rich people never want to be told they're wrong. Let's first of all, let's get that straight.
He's on
it's one. It's very true. But, and you know, no one wants to tell the emperor they have no clothes. We tried to be a voice of reason, you know, and present a, you know, dissenting opinion at times. Sometimes it's listened to, sometimes it isn't.
And let's be real. Jeff Benson's not backing down from anyone when it comes to bookmaking. He's ready to throw some odds out there and take your action.
He can't whimper into the corner and say, we're only going to put five draft props up there, right? I mean, what, he's going to hang his head for 2 weeks? He's got to be out there attacking.
It was. How the overall handle as far as the NCAA, I think we would all agree, maybe a little lacking in drama, the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. But how did it go there at Circa Sports as far as the tournament?
You know, it's up, but, you know, we had Illinois, so that's a big factor as to why it's up. The women's tournament was just incredible, up 5X, right, over last year. And that included, you know, the real start of it when Iowa beat South Carolina in the semifinals. So it's going to be interesting, the translation of Caitlin from the college game to the pro game and you know, how that's going to do. I got to tell you, I wanted to mention this, the Masters. And Jeff Davis is our lead golf bookmaker. I mean, he does such a good job. And we have the lowest takeout in the industry. You know, going into Sunday, we couldn't lose to any golfer. I mean, it's just a it's really a masterful job of bookmaking. And he booked it to have Scheffler winning. So that all came true. But we couldn't get hurt to anybody. Like that Aberg we won 8,000 to was our worst result.
Wow.
Before the tournament, our worst result was Fred Couples, which, you know, people take flyers. People take flyers on certain. And then there's a lot of Tiger action, right, too. And Tiger's the second worst result. And Rory was kind of a bad. But all those guys were out of it. And so and the right was up again. And the court was perfect weather. And it didn't have to go against Easter, and which we get next year, too. It will be the week before Easter next year. So we continue to grow the golf handle. And we should, because it's the best place to bet golf.
The one thing I would say about Scheffler, if golf doesn't work out, I don't think the three of us as host on VSiN should worry about our job, because I don't think he's going to be hosting it, right? I think it's fair. Fair to say with Scottie Scheffler.
Well, could we make the case that the Masters is the single best, or any big golf event is the best thing to watch at Stadium Swim? Like, it kind of works into the atmosphere, and you look up, and it's there. There's beers, there's the pool, there's women in bikinis. Like, constant mental and other stimulation going on.
You can also keep the DJ playing during the golf, right? You don't have to go to golf sound, and everybody just... Now, if you're coming down to the final two holes, and they're tied, you go to the sound. But we really didn't have to do that. There was that second there, he was two shots down on Saturday. Yeah. Then he eagled, and it was pretty much
over. Yeah, I had him at minus 112 at that point. I thought, I was like, I'm the mush. I ruined this guy.
No, He's a machine right now. By the way, I'm just looking, and I don't even know what you bet, but I feel you're probably doing well in Champions League, because Bayern and Arsenal are 0-0, 47th minute, and Real Madrid's up 1-0 over Man City in the 45th minute. You like to bet unders in soccer. Did you get involved in Champions League?
I did. I bet the Arsenal game under. I can't touch Man City. I mean, because at any time they can put three on you quick. But I did do with our, and Arsenal really slumping right now, not scoring goals. I know they were 2-2 when they played in England, but I figured this would be a 1-1 game or 1-0 one way or the other. So under 2.5, looking pretty good right now.
2.5? Ooh, I saw 2.75 in the market on the evening. 2.5 is pretty good.
There's a the problem here is if somebody scores and creates the unevenness, now we're going to pull the goalie and all this late, and there can be hijinks. So it's as likely as two as there is one goal to be scored. So usually I would look to try to create a middle and go over one and a half here, but I'll probably wait to go just over a half if I can get to maybe 72, 74 minutes.
Fair enough. So if you see Mike at any point during Palm versus the big guy on his phone, he is live betting Champions League. The hustle never sleeps. A lot of Laker money last night. People don't realize Vegas is kind of a Laker town. Laker money on the Pelicans last night?
It's more a Laker town than it is a Dodger town, right? And they're both very strong. Yeah, it was all Lakers. And then the big guy goes out. Now he's out for Friday as well. So that's fine. I couldn't believe. You know, it's the Warriors became a national team because of Steph, too. And we took a lot of Warriors. My boy, to look at them, boy, is that. That team is old,
and
it is over. I watched every second of that game, and I don't watch a lot of an entire NBA game. That was brutal.
With Steph, you always feel like there's a chance. Last night, you never felt like they were coming back at any point. Okay, you wait for it all week. He's still up. Mike Palm, 3-2-1 over the big guy. Palm versus the big guy coming back. Here, sharp money.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money presented by DraftKings. It's a Wednesday, the second segment of the second hour. That means Palm versus the big guy. Mike Palm leads 3-2-1. He won the coin toss backstage. So we get started. We're going to start with the draft. 30-second shot clock. You know how it works. The Washington Commanders at number two should select, you fill in the blank, Mike Palm.
Well, I think it's Jaden Daniels. I'm not big on Drake May or these North Carolina quarterbacks. I really don't understand what they've accomplished. I actually think Penix would be my next choice to Daniels. I know there's injury issues, but the mobility he gives you with his legs, the ability to create in the pocket, to be able to actually use him in a designed run game, The improvement that he made from his time at Arizona State, and Stormy will talk about this. You never could have conceived this guy would be a top five pick, covering him at Arizona State, to the progress that he made at LSU and his accuracy. I think it's a pretty clear choice for the Commanders.
Yeah, it's Jaden Daniels, because it's very rare that at number two you get a guy who is as polished as he is already, but also still with the upside that you would normally get at number one. Jaden Daniels as a passer, the accuracy is there. That is number one. That is paramount if you're going to find your quarterback in the future. Obviously, the mobility is there. And we saw what Cliff Kingsbury at times was able to do with a guy in Kyler Murray. I think the skill set for Jaden Daniels actually fits that spread offense better than Kyler Murray did.
Dustin, a curveball for you. What makes the Stanley Cup playoffs so special?
There's something regal about it. But to me, it's the feeling you get in a body part that I'm told, according to the FCC, I'm not allowed to mention. It's in between two of them that are really important here. There's a pucker factor, a tenseness. There is a density to the air when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs that really isn't captured in a lot of the other leagues or any of the other leagues. I think you can feel the pressure of every single moment and the elegance at which these players skate on the ice, a physicality. There's just a different level in the intensity of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
What makes it so special, Patrick, is that anybody truly can win it. People, all the baseball teams say it on the first day of spring. It's not true. But we've seen what a hot goalie can do for a playoff team. And it is the most unpredictable of the four sports by far. So all these teams, even if you're the second qualifier wild card team that just made it in, like the Capitals, have an opportunity, if Charlie Lindgren gets hot, to take them all the way to the Stanley Cup.
Not Las Vegas. What U.S. city is best for a Major League Baseball expansion team, Mike Palm?
I'm going to go with Charlotte. I think it has to be somewhere in the Southeast is one of my prerequisites. And I came down to Charlotte or Nashville. Charlotte is built as a sports town and has supported all these teams. The key thing for Major League Baseball is, can it financially support and be sustainable? There's a whole region of the country there. You go from Atlanta all the way up to Washington, D.C., where you have no Major League Baseball. It is bereft of it. I think the Charlotte market is a well-defined the fan base is very intelligent and articulate about their sports and will support their team.
Charlotte's the most boring big city in America. I can't stand it. They don't deserve anything. But I agree with Mike. It needs to be a southern city because we need to break up the Braves monopoly in the Southeast. It's insane that they have that many states that are Braves fans. That's why I went with Nashville. Mm. It's a destination city for visitors, so teams will travel, fans will travel. Centrally located, if you actually look at a U.S. map for travel, very easy to get in and out of. And it's a growing community. Nashville is getting bigger and bigger every year. Great expensive suburbs like Franklin. And they already support a team like the Predators day in and day out.
If you'd have taken the U.S. off of this, I would say Mexico City is actually my first choice.
Okay. Mm. There you go. Dustin, your team, NBA playoffs out of the East and West, and you can't use the Celtics or the Nuggets.
Yeah. So, look, the East, it's the Knicks. If someone's going to beat the Celtics, it's not necessarily because they are better talent-wise. It's because they're mentally tougher, and they can get in those guys' heads because they've shown that when it matters, they can be mentally weak. And I think OG Anunoby was brought in for the Knicks to do just that, to get in Jason Tatum's head and shut him down. On the other side in the West, I need someone who's going to take down Jokic to go on an absolute heater. Well, there's one guy we've seen do it before in the postseason. That's Luka Doncic. So the Mavs would be my answer in the West because they're so different now from when they were earlier in the year. They are built to win in any style of a fight.
I think the Clippers are done. I agree with Dustin. It's Dallas in the West. Since the trade deadline, they have the best improvement of record, 20-7, and points per 100 possessions, they're plus 7.1. They were a negative before the trade deadline. In the East, I'm going to go with the only team that had a 500 record against the Celtics all year, the Milwaukee Bucks. You still have Giannis. You've got Dame. You've got Middleton. They've been there, done it before.
Mike Palm.
Yes.
Better at their sport, respectively. Wayne Gretzky or Michael Jordan?
I'm a huge Jordan fan, but this isn't close. It's Wayne Gretzky. He is the GOAT of all GOATs to their particular sport. He's going to set 12 records probably that'll never be achieved. Assists, are you kidding me? He's 900 assists ahead of the next closest person, almost 1,000 points ahead of Messier. He's the 9-time MVP of his sport. Think about that. 9-time MVP of his sport, the greatest of all time.
I think when you look at this, it's not even close. It's Wayne Gretzky. And I think there's an element to his game that Michael Jordan, quite frankly, didn't have. Now, just because of his existence, players that played with Michael Jordan got better. They played better. But I don't think Jordan made them better. Wayne Gretzky, from the beginning with the Oilers all the way through the end when he was, you know, riding out into the sunset on like four different teams, Wayne Gretzky made everyone around him better, and that's the sign of a great player to me, the greatest of all time. Can you make everyone around you step up? And he did that everywhere he went.
Okay. Dustin Sweetelson, one NBA coach all time to coach a Game 7. Your choice is?
It's funny. We just talked about Michael Jordan. The answer is Phil Jackson. What are we talking about here, guys? I want, with all the excitement and all the noise and all the chaos that comes with trying to win a Game 7, and the pressure, I want someone as cool as a cucumber. He's the master of Zen, Phil Jackson. That's who I want leading my team. Let everyone else have their problems and let him teach them how to focus. We saw in The Last Dance what he was able to do with all those personalities, all the stuff they all had going on outside the court, and he got them all to come together and win multiple rings. Phil Jackson is the answer.
It's very interesting, Patrick. Of all NBA coaches who have coached in 5 or more Game 7s, no one has a better than 500 record. So all these winners have to be a lot of one and dones. Auerbach was 8-8. I'm going to go with a guy that's coached in more than 10, and Larry Brown. And you see what he did with a lot less talent on other teams. But with his ability to coach the X's and O's of the game and motivate, has taken teams that shouldn't have won championships and brought them to a championship level, as you well know.
Playing up to the judge, not bad. The best table game, Mike Palm, to play in Vegas is fill in the blank and why?
Well, I think it's dice. And for a couple of reasons. You can play dice to a very low house minimum if you want to, but the excitement of the community of the game when you get a hot dice table, there is nothing like it. And don't tell me blackjack, because what kind of game is it where you bust, she busts, and you lose?
It happens to me in my personal life a lot. I bust, she busts, and we lose. I might just leave it at that. The worst table, the best table game for me, if we look at this, guys, you're not winning. You're not consistently winning. You don't have a strategy. So That's why I go with roulette, because I can sit there and I can do absolutely nothing and I can collect my free drinks all night long. I'm going to stand with my original answer with the bus.
All right, Dustin. This band is coming to Vegas. You drop all your plans and you have to go see them. What's the band?
So it's going to happen, actually. It looks like I have been enticed through social media clips of a bit of a reunion. Now, it's weird because this band's lead singer died, but they've replaced him with his kid, and that would be Sublime. Sublime now is Bradley Noel's son as their lead singer. They had this guy Rome for a while, and I wasn't really interested in seeing Rome sing for them. Now that they have Bradley's kid and he sounds a lot like him, I'm going to see Sublime when they come to Las Vegas. They were prominent in my adolescence, always blasting in the car with me and my friends growing up, one of my favorite bands of all time.
You know, this is a very difficult question for me because I don't really follow bands. The only band that I ever loved was the Cranberries, and O'Riordan's gone, and so we can't get the Cranberries. I will say Pink is my answer. Because of the show that she puts on is absolutely exquisite, from the aerials to all the people she brings in to do duets with her, to her catalog, which is, it might not be all the way to Taylor Swift, but it's pretty damn close.
First up, the Commanders QB. The Penix portion got Mike the win. Stanley Cup. This is one of the biggest shockers of all time. Dustin used Regal, Destiny, and Elegance in his answer. He wins that. It's 1-1. Major League Baseball. Break up the Braves' monopoly. Tremendous point by Dustin. 2-1, Dustin. NBA East-West. I got it a push. Jordan Gretzky. Palm came with stats. That was a winner. Easy one for Mike Palm. NBA coach. Easy dunk for Palm. That was Larry Brown. Phil Jackson. I wouldn't even want him coaching my team. Table game push. Band push. 3-2. Mike Palm.
Yep.
Close, boys.
It was very tight.
Sometimes you got to look across and say, someone got the better of you. I will agree. Mike Palm got the better of me today.
I wouldn't have had an argument if you wouldn't.
Oh, see.
I bust, she bust. Dustin, you're special. Thank you, Mike Palm. We'll see you next week.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, get your 2 weeks free of the betting splits access over at VSiN.com. Updated every 5 minutes straight from DraftKings. Again, there's no risk here. Go to VSiN.com/splits. You can sign up for free. See which way the money's going. You won't regret it. Okay, we got you back here, Sharp Money. We're going to be joined by our buddy, Wes Reynolds, VSiN host, VSiN Primetime, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time, of course. Long Shots, the great podcast as far as golf's concerned, at Wes Reynolds 1 on Twitter. We do have some controversy as we say hi to Wes. Thomas Gable, who runs the Race and Sportsbook over at the Borgata, he said he just heard Palm versus the big guy. He thought it was a great debate. He had Dustin winning it. I gave it to Palm, so I do feel a little bit bad. However, during the break, Dustin said, is Scottie Scheffler bad for golf? And that perked up Wes Reynolds' ears, and he was like, who debated that? So let's start there. Scottie Scheffler, who's on a heater. When you hear people intimating that Scheffler could be bad for golf, maybe lack of personality, what's your reaction?
Well, look, I don't think that the ratings went down for the Masters because Scottie Scheffler won necessarily. Now, he obviously doesn't move the needle like a Tiger when, like maybe when Rory was making his run, but mainly Tiger. But nobody's going to move the needle like Tiger. I think what's hurting golf right now is the fact that there's a division within the game. Look, we had all the players that aren't on the PGA Tour on the regular basis in the Masters field this week. We had the Rahms and we had the Koepkas and the Dustin Johnsons. Didn't make a difference. Didn't make a difference at all in terms of the ratings. So I think maybe people are just getting a little bit tired because last summer there was this big hullabaloo with Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour commissioner, and Yasiel Al-Ramayan, who is the head of the PIF, which runs obviously LIV Golf, that, hey, we're together, we're going to merge. And I think that the fans got that impression, but there was never really like a real concrete signed deal in place. And now you still see these two different tours existing. And I think think, you know, when it all becomes about like greed and about the money, I think fans get turned off. Fans don't give a damn what amount of money these guys make. If you make $500 million or you make $200 million or whatever it is, they want to see good sport competition and good golf shots. And maybe they're a weekend hacker and they say, oh, how did this guy play it? You know, even though they can't. Professional. How did they play it from this particular lie? Like I had a very similar lie or a very similar angle. So yeah, they're fans of the game. They don't give a damn about the money. So that's why I think you see the ratings down most of all.
Yeah. And that's a great point. You could never, I don't think we'll ever be able to compare the tornado that was Tiger Woods as far as popularity. So everybody's going to be that's the standard as far as popularity. I totally agree there. Let's get to the playing games tonight, Wes, and we'll start with the early game. We've got in prime time, our time here on the West Coast. We're lucky we get the Hawks and Bulls, but the early game, the Heat at the 76ers.
Doesn't that feel like that should be a game in Dayton or something on a Tuesday, like in the NCAA tournament? The Hawks and the Bulls are like the Colorado State Virginia of this year's NBA playoffs, it feels like.
It's a perfect analogy. Let's do that. Let's get that one out of the way. You do like the Hawks catching the three tonight at Chicago. Why do you like them, Wes?
Yeah, and look, it is hold your nose because they're 0-6 in their last regular season games. But a lot of that, I'm not necessarily tanking because they were in the 9-10 spot anyway. But, you know, maybe we're a little bit more liberal in terms of their substitutions and who they played because they knew that they couldn't move up. So you look at the last game, they got beat by 42 and gave up almost 160 points to the Pacers. Well, the Pacers were, like, trying because they wanted to avoid being in this play-in spot. And they wanted to get that sixth spot. And so they were going full bear with all their starters pretty much playing throughout the game. So I look and the Bulls, I guess, are in a little bit better form. But I think the Hawks can actually match up a little bit here just on like styles of play. They say styles make fights, right? Trae Young is back from that finger injury where he missed over a month. And, you know, Trae Young, we know he can be a really erratic three-point shooter. So what he needs to do is just be a driver to the basket because the Bulls do try to take off everything at the rim. But what they do is they allow the highest amount of three-point attempts to opponents and one of the highest percentages as well. Hawks are taking a lot more threes since they put Bogdan Bogdanovic in the lineup to go along with Trae Young and Devontae Murray. So, yeah, it's basically a coin flip game to me. And I will go toward the Hawks. I want to see if maybe this goes to like 3.5 or a little bit more. It's pretty much been stuck on 3 all day, which shows you there might be some market resistance on the Hawks because I don't think a lot of bettors are actually running to the window or running to their apps to bet this team that's lost 6 in a row.
I think that's a great point. I also know DeJounte Murray prop bettors are sullen today because the ball is going to be in Trae Young's hands. So again, when you look and you say, wait, why is DeJounte Murray 5.5 dimes? It's because the ball is going to be in Trae Young's hands. Now, the early game, and I think we all agree, this is a very interesting matchup for a multitude of reasons. The Heat are at the 76ers. I like your angle here. You're going to go under the 30.5 with Joel Embiid.
Yeah, and look, in full disclosure, I do like the Sixers to win the game. I think that maybe the number at 5.5 has gotten a little bit out of hand. But the Sixers are kind of the team, if you look, the way they're priced, they're the third favorite to win the Eastern Conference. And they're not even technically in the playoffs. Like, they're not even in the main draw yet. They got to win tonight to do that. But there's a reason why, you know, because they've won 8 in a row and they have Embiid back. I think that they're dangerous, assuming they beat Miami, getting into that lower end of the draw because you get a Knicks team that still is not with full strength. They're going to miss Julius Randle. The starters play a lot of minutes. They don't have a ton of playoff experience as a group. And then if they get the winner of the Bucks and the Pacers, well, who knows where Giannis is going to be if they're still going to even be in the playoffs. And then the Pacers are still a young, inexperienced team. So the Sixers, I think that draw is open for them if they get through tonight. But I did fade Embiid at least a little bit on the points. I think it's a little bit inflated here just because it's a tough matchup because last 7 times he's gone up against Bam Adebayo, he's averaged 22 a game. So, you know, we know what the Heat want to do, I think, defensively. Spo is going to have to go with the zone, which he's been wont to do. And look, that got him in the NBA Finals last year against Denver. So they want to make Embiid shoot jump shots here. And certainly Joel Embiid can make them. But you'd rather do that than have him go to the paint where he's going to shoot like 80% at the rim. So you want to have him do that. And also with Embiid, it's not just a one-man team necessarily with him, because Tyrese Maxey is a guy that can run the show, and they can count on Tyrese Maxey now for offense that they couldn't always get with James Harden. James Harden was very hit or miss last year with offense, and certainly in the early part of the year before he was traded to the Clippers. So, you know, Embiid, you're going to see a lot of like screener roles, I think, for Embiid to get Maxey going to the rim or to get Maxey open shots. Sixers have some 3-point shooters with Hield off the bench and with Batum and with Harris. So those guys are going to get looks, and the Heat will allow that because of the zone. They will allow jump shots. They just want to keep you away from the rim. So that's why I thought Embiid under points was the way to go here. I know, you know, fading a star is always kind of dangerous, but I think the number was inflated at 30.5, and there is some 29.5. I would still like that as well.
Under 30.5, Joel Embiid tonight. Wes, how do you approach your Pacers series against the Bucks? It's essentially a pick 'em now because of the injury news with Giannis. What would be your approach with that series price?
Yeah, look, at this point, you can't take it. Hopefully you got in early in the week, or at least the second attempt at about plus 140. I think it was like $2 when it first opened on Sunday. But this is a series that's like the mystery series. I think it's one of the more interesting ones in the first round, along with Dallas Clippers on the west side. But it's interesting because the Pacers won 4 of 5 this year, but they were all played early in the year, November and December, including the one out here in Vegas where the Pacers knocked them out in the semifinals of that play-in tournament. But the Pacers had not played the Bucks since Doc Rivers took over as coach, and the Bucks had not played the Pacers since Pascal Siakam got acquired from the Raptors in that trade. So I'm curious to see how this is going to match up, but I haven't liked the Bucks the second half of the season anyway. The Pacers don't have a lot of playoff pedigree, and they don't have a lot of experience. Tyrese Halliburton's shot has kind of struggled the second half of the season, but you know, maybe it's starting to come back, even though his numbers have declined. But I think his numbers have declined too, because you've got to get used to playing with the new star in the offense, and that's Pascal Siakam. And then plus Mathurin being out, who was kind of their guy off the bench that they would play with Tyrese from time to time in the middle quarters. Yeah, I think that the Pacers, though, they got to feel very confident going in here. Now, defensively, this team is not very good. And what this team tries to do is run you off the three-point line and stop you at the rim. And they've been somewhat effective at doing that. But I think at this point, if you're betting kind of a coin flip, minus 110, minus 110, I'd just stay away from the series price. I think you've already missed the value with the Pacers.
Great breakdown, Wes. Appreciate the time. Wes Reynolds, VSiN host, VSiN Primetime. Weekdays, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Those 2 hours replayed right before Follow the Money in the Morning. And, of course, long shots. Check out the Heritage Pricing at WesReynolds1 on Twitter. Thanks for the time, Wes. Appreciate you.
You bet, fellas. Anytime.
Okay. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. Great breakdown. I like that, too. Yeah, I looked and saw 30.5 on Embiid, and that certainly is does feel a little inflated. We'll come back and discuss those playing games tonight here. Sharp Money, presented by DraftKings.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests we're gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Bet $5, get $200 instantly in bonus bets over at DraftKings during the NBA postseason, including the play-in tonight. Use the promo code VSiN, V-S-I-N. DraftKings, an official betting partner of the NBA. Make sure you check it out. $5, $200 in bonus bets instantly using that promo code VSiN, V-S-I-N, DraftKings. The crown is yours. Okay, we got you back. Sharp Money presented by DraftKings. We're going to have Trevor Sikkema from PFF coming up at the top of the hour talking about the NFL draft, which is coming up next Thursday. Dustin and I, Paul mentioned the wide receiver market. We're going to break down the wide receivers coming up in a bit as well. We've got plenty. We've got videos from Chris Ruffalo, Aaron Halterman, Racing Dudes, Bobby Stanley Jr., Mike Somich has sent in a video as well. So the third hour is going to be jam-packed. We've got a couple of odds and ends we need to clean up here. And we'll start here. I mentioned Thomas Gable, who runs the race and sports book at the Borgata, a good friend of the program. He was listening to Palm versus the Big Guy, and he said he freaking loves the segment, and he disagreed with me. He thought it was a great debate. It was close, but he had you beating Palm. Now, I had it close. I had it 3-2 with a few pushes in there going to Mike Palm. Now, you're doing a great job. It's 4-2-1 to Palm, but you had won the last couple. And then during the break, Thomas Gable texted me he would love to be a guest judge on the segment at one point. So I think we got to make that happen. I think we need a bookmaker to jump in and guest judge Palm versus the Big Guy.
You know what? I think we get him hooked up. He'll be listening in. Let him be the referee. Since look, he's being critical of the ref here. You're not taking it personal enough. He's taking shots at you, at your scruples as a human being. The way you're trying to be an impartial judge on the show, also having to navigate the segment. You got to do two things at once: able to listen and figure out who you think won or lost. It's a tough job. Let Thomas Gable put the stripes on. Go to Foot Locker, get the jersey, come in here and sit down and judge Palm versus the Big Guy.
TG, you've made the offer, and I literally wrote him back, yes, you're in. The crew in the closet, you see the graphic, they thought the Big Guy won as well. So let me go through these just quickly. Maybe I'm off here. I gave the Penix answer, I gave the Commander's answer to Palm because he said he would take Penix third. Maybe I was being a little biased there. I gave you the Stanley Cup answer because you used a tremendous vocabulary. Yeah. You called the Stanley Cup playoffs regal.
And I wanted to say sphincter, but I didn't think I was allowed, so I didn't.
Elegance, destiny. I thought it was a great answer by you. New expansion site for Major League Baseball. You had a great answer about breaking up in the Southeast the Braves monopoly. I gave it to you. I called the NBA East-West a push.
fair.
Jordan Gretzky, he came with a lot of stats about Gretzky. You just said that Gretzky makes people better. Yes. I had to give that to him.
I actually agree with that one completely. That's now, a regret. That's one I regret the way I went about it. I should have done more detailed research.
I try to get rid of my biases. So with the NBA coach to coach one game seven, you said Phil Jackson. Now, your argument was good because he's the Zen master. You want everybody to be chill. But I can give you Chuck Daly. I can give you Red Auerbach. I can give you Red Holtzman. I can give you Larry Brown. I can give you names that I think I'd prefer better in a one-off. But he gave Larry Brown, so maybe I was being a little biased.
And then Mike had good stats on coaches in Game 7. So I actually agree with you here that his answer was better there because I initially went into that question. I don't know why in my head. I thought I read it as Game 7, life on the line, and I was going to do shtick. My original answer was going to be shtick that I want Steve Kerr to be the coach, not because he's a great tactician, but because the worst case scenario is I die at the end of it. And I know that Steve Kerr in my final moments would say something to me that would put me at peace. So that's what I had queued up. And then you just said Game 7. And I realized in the notes, you did not say life on the line. And I had to come up with Phil Jackson. But originally, I had some shtick ready to go with Steve Kerr and I couldn't use it.
Now, table games, I push. I thought you guys both gave a great answer. And the bands, he said Pink, you said Sublime. I called it a push. Now, here's the thing. The crew in the closet, let's be honest, Larry, Sean, they're freaking weird. So they don't understand my job here. My job is that I don't just say, well, I like Sublime better than Pink, so I have to give you the answer. My job is to discern who had the better argument. Now, Larry, you know, Larry's a freak. So Larry's like, I love Sublime. Yeah. He probably loved your she bust, I bust, everybody loses, and assumes you win the contest. And with all due respect, Larry and Sean, who only cares about the Braves winning today anyway. So with all due respect to the boys in the closet, it's a tall task. I have the judgment is much different than just she bust, I bust.
Well, no, let's be fair. I interact with the crew. Mike does not. If Mike hears this, now I'm nervous because I think Mike might come with snacks for the crew. He might play to them, thinking that could play a role here. Because, look, if it's you and Thomas Gable judging the next version of Palm versus the Big Guy, we might need a tiebreaker. The crew would be the obvious tiebreaker.
Okay, we can do that. I'm nervous about that proposition, but we can certainly do that. Well, just quickly, Champions League, De Bruyne got a goal to even it up with Man City and Real Madrid on aggregate. That's 4-4. Fascinating. Bayern 1-0 aggregate 3-2 over Arsenal in the quarters at Champions League. That's important. As far as baseball, that's happening in real time. Just quickly, because I know you've got a play you want to give out for this evening. The Braves have tied it up. And the top of the eighth, 4-4 against the Astros. The Blue Jays beating the Yankees, top 6, 2-1. The Nats, tried to tell you, that is a team that is going to surprise some people. And they're surprising the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium right now, 2-0, bottom 7. The Cardinals beating the A's, 3-2, end of 4. The Cubs up 2-1 over the Diamondbacks, middle 5. And 1-1 with the Reds and Mariners, pardon me, middle 3. So a lot of games already final today. Some surprises. I don't know. You had the Rangers plus money over the Tigers. That's not a surprise. The Mets. You buried the Mets after the first three games of the year. They have now won 5 straight and put it on the Buccos, the Pirates today, 9-1. The Orioles just continue their 12-6, 4-1 over the Twinkies today, and the Giants beat the Marlins.
Yeah, so a couple notes on that. First, the Mets. The Mets have had the toughest schedule in baseball so far. Pretty much every team they've played, I believe, is over 500 right now, so no breaks there. And the pitching has been really, really remarkable. And I think this is the dividends you get when you get a guy like David Stearns in there as the VP of baseball ops. The way he can look at the analytics of what these guys do best. And look, they're not sexy names. Luis Severino today, who, you know, is in and out of trouble all the time. Sean Manaea, Adrian Hauser. These aren't household names. But he's able to kind of call up the right stuff for them and look at what's working and what's not. You and I dealt with this a few years ago, and we used to talk to Ross Stripling on our old show a lot, and he made an all-star team saying the Dodgers told him, you're throwing pitches you're not good at. Here's what you're good at. Throw these pitches, and that's it. I think there's an element with the Mets right now where the data's coming along, and they're getting better and better. Now, the offense needs to step up, And right now, they're not getting a ton of production out of Lindor, especially from the left side. I think we're approaching a point with Francisco Lindor. He needs to give up being a switch hitter. And then for the Orioles, I bet him 16-1 to win the World Series last week. I might bet him again. You buy now, new ownership, tons of assets, only a few holes that they're going to have to fill if they want to be the elite of the elites this year. I would buy on them now because I think the new ownership is going to be aggressive in fixing whatever ails them when it matters.
Yeah, just a quick note on Ross Stripling, who's one of the nicest guys of all time, yes. And we interviewed him a million times. I don't think we could interview him anymore because every time I look up and he's on the bump, I just fade him. So it's like a holiday now. I don't even care what the matchup is. If it's a good price, I'm fading Ross Stripling. No offense to you, Ross. No. You were a great interview.
No, great guy. Great guy. But the A's are punchy, man. The A's, like, they have him. They have Alex Wood. They have Paul Blackburn. Not overly dominant guys. Every now and then, though, they could step up and surprise you. And you only have to be right a couple times where you're getting almost $2 on the money line on the underdog in those games. Okay, right now, they're down one to St. Louis.
Let's sneak in a play for tonight. Go ahead.
All right. On that note, this is a good transition. Look, we're going to get weird here. And when you take a shot like this, when you're going to take a shot, you have to understand the risk involved. And the risk is you're more than likely going to be wrong. But again, just like my note on the A's, you don't have to be right that many times to be successful. I'm going to back the Rockies against the Phillies. Plus 185. I've tried betting against this Ryan Feltner guy a few times this year with team totals. And he's been awesome. Two of his three starts outside Coors Field, two of his starts at Coors Field, and he still only has a 3.38 ERA. I think he will keep Colorado in this game and give them a chance to win. We're seeing what Washington's doing against the Dodgers right now. Ryan Feltner's a guy I'm going to take a shot with at plus 185 today against Philly.
Sometimes it's so wrong, it's right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know that too often, unfortunately.
I'd love to know. Like, just let's have a little test. During the break, ask Larry and the crew why they thought you won the contest. And I guarantee it's the bus she bust.
100%.
100%. So we can't. I got to be above board. Trevor Sikkema on the draft PFF next.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.